Tin Hut. Have you ever been to boot camp? No? Then today's your lucky day, soldier. Today we're looking at a website put out by the U.S. Navy to help soldiers get and stay in shape. Plus, we have two listener profiles and much, much more, all on episode number 63 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. How are you doing this week, Jeff?
I am living with spring snowfalls. This last week of April just sucks in Calgary. I thought I could put my shovels away, but enough about that. I'm sure our audience wants to know, did you finally break this 240-pound barrier?
You know, I did. I was partially aided by a nasty little stomach virus that was going around our family. Actually, the extended family, friends, the whole area here has been down with this silly virus. But I got down here 238.7 for the weigh-in this week. So I expect to gain a little bit of that back in water weight from being sick. But I want to guess not too much. So 238.7 for this week.
So you're already complaining about being sick with your stomach, and then last week you were complaining about your ankle. So how did you do with your goals anyways?
Well, eating goals, right on there. I'm going to say 8 out of 10 because there's still a little few things that I'm still jonesing for that Diet Coke, but not going for it. So some 8 out of 10 for this week for eating goals. Exercise goals, you know what? 2 out of 10. This stupid ankle is still bothering me. If you follow me on Twitter, I tried one of these Power 90 workouts. We got one of these CDs from a friend and checked it out, and I started jumping around the ankle, and I'll be damned if I didn't hurt something else a little more. So I'm not going to do that thing right now. I'm going to go back to the regular old workouts. But as far as motivation for this week, 10 out of 10, you know, clothes are still fitting better and better. And, you know, it's great to go in the closet and grab all those clothes that I haven't worn in a long time.
Well, you know what your next big milestone is? That would be 236 pounds. You know why that's a big milestone?
I have no idea.
That would be 60 pounds down. And like my grandmother used to say that I talk a mile a minute, that would be like losing a pound a minute, and then you'd lose all your weight in an hour. If that made any sense.
awkward silence. Crickets.
But anyways, let's move on to our email and comment section.
All right, we're going to do a little something different here. We've got a couple of profile emails. That's where one of the listeners, one of you, has sent us in kind of their weight loss journey, their story about how they've either been working on their fitness, losing weight, or have attained their goal.
And the first email comes from JP, and it's very interesting because he's not the typical listener. And he writes, "I've been listening to Fat to Fit from the beginning and fully approve your weight loss approach. I'm 6 feet tall and 27 years old from Montreal, Canada, and I weigh about 168 pounds. I'm in pretty good shape right now, and I've never lost a big amount of weight in my life. Some might wonder why a guy like me would listen to a show about weight loss. Well, looking at my family, I know that I need to be very careful about my habits in order to keep my present shape. In that perspective, your approach fits perfectly for my situation. I am now figuring out what I need to be doing to stay just as I am for the long time.
I train in a gym 2 to 4 times a week and play soccer and snowboard on a regular basis. My eating habits are pretty good too, but far from perfect. I enjoy food very much and have a tendency to overeat. Likewise, I enjoy having a few beers when watching the Canadians. Luckily, my active lifestyle and the fact that I choose mostly good foods keep this overeating and drinking from turning into weight gain. I guess this present lifestyle is perfect for me because I never deprive myself and never gain any weight.
Anyways, I have some tips for your audience. First tip, smoothies. Jeff, I know you enjoy oatmeal in the morning, but for those who like something tastier, if there's anything tastier, smoothies are the way to go. I start almost every day with a smoothie. My recipe is very simple. A banana, half cup to a cup of frozen berries, organic soy milk, and vanilla yogurt. Sometimes I will add raw eggs or hemp seeds to put some protein in there. I know this might not be too filling, but I'm usually not very hungry in the morning anyways. This gives me just enough energy to get me going till my first morning snack.
Talking about snacks, a healthy snack I enjoy almost every day is frozen berries with yogurt and cereal or Quick Oats. You can fix this in 2 minutes in the morning and it makes a good filling snack. Just pour some frozen fruit in a Ziploc bag, pour some vanilla yogurt and some muesli or Quick Oats on top. 2 hours later, the frozen fruit are melted and you got yourself a good fresh snack. In case I don't have time to fix this, I always carry some instant oatmeal packs with me. I know they are rich in sugar, but they are filling, cheap, and not as bad for you as almost anything in the vending machine and coffee shops on my campus.
What I was talking about at the beginning of this email, he weighs 168 pounds at 6 feet tall. His BMI is lower than mine right now for his height. We're pretty close to the same weight. And this is just like me, but he didn't go through gaining the weight and then losing it. He's doing the lifestyle that I'm doing right now to maintain my weight. And he sees that I have a family that has a history of obesity and other problems, and I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen to me. So I'm going on a diet or a lifestyle maintenance right now to maintain his weight.
That's good. Yeah. You know, 168 pounds. I can't imagine being 168 pounds myself. I'm 6'2" and you know, we're just a couple inches away from each other. But boy, I think that would be just too thin for me. But I know I can understand why you want to stay that healthy, lean person. He's already attained that. I mean, he's never had to veer away from that. You know, you don't want to go the opposite way. If his family does have a tendency to go that way, you know, genetics may play a part in that.
I think that everyone who's overweight and looks at someone who is healthy and has never put on a lot of weight or they've never known them when they're heavier, they think that it just comes easy to everyone. And this is just a really good example of someone who's doing all of the right things to maintain his weight so the weight does not come on in the first place. And he realizes that he'll gain a little weight and lose a little weight, and it's all about moderation. And I think if our listeners can see, here's someone who's living this lifestyle as a thinner guy so he doesn't get bigger. The other way works as well. If you're a bigger person, you want to live that lifestyle so you lose weight. It all works the same.
Yeah, he's living the lifestyle of that thinner person. Fortunately for him, it's himself. So good luck with that, JP, and keep on doing the good work there.
All right, we'll move on to our second email. And this comes from David, and he's more of our typical listener. And he writes, "Hi, guys. First off, I would like to thank you for the fantastic podcast you put together for your listening audience. I discovered it while roaming through iTunes for a weight loss podcast that spoke to me as a person and not a brain or someone who needed spiritual enlightenment to shed pounds. I've tried many and none of them ever got me to subscribe, but Fat to Fit hits the nail on the head and does it well."
Second, a special thanks to host and fellow Long Beach resident Russ Turley for stopping by my weight loss blog, 200by40.com, and leaving a kind comment on a post which I gave the Fat to Fit podcast some kind words.
I know you and your listeners like to hear weight loss success stories and inspiration from real people, not cardboard cutouts in storefronts or in TV commercials. Well, that's the reason I started my blog, to show people that anybody, even Joe Average, can truly lose the weight they want if they simply try hard enough and put their minds to it.
My motivation for doing so was simple. My family. They are whom I live for and whom I need to look after, and at a weight of nearly 300 pounds in 2006, my life with them was certain to be either cut short or be plagued with health problems. Once my doctor indicated to me that my weight had shot up since my last visit, that was all I needed to hear. I had made a simple goal, which was to be at 200 pounds by my 40th birthday in 2009. That gave me a good 3 years to reach it.
And that's an awesome goal, 100 pounds in 3 years. That is attainable. There's nothing wrong with that goal. But he continues, "By my doctor's recommendation, I began following the Weight Watchers points program and stuck to it. In addition to counting points, I also began to educate myself on nutrition and started to exercise by walking a little each day and lengthening the distance as I saw fit. Being that I take the train to work and the area surrounding my office is very pedestrian, I saw this as the perfect opportunity to walk during my lunch hour. Otherwise, I'd probably be sitting at my desk, checking emails or surfing the web.
Before I knew it, I was walking nearly 2 miles during my lunch. I also began to take the stairs rather than ride the elevator, and still do. Eventually, I got my hands on a Wii Fit in order to add something different to my routine, which by then included doing between 50 to 100 sit-ups at night. I have since graduated to jogging on a treadmill for 30 to 60 minutes each night in the comfort of my home.
On the food front, I decided to change my lifestyle completely. I exchanged red meat for chicken, milk for almond rice, and soy-based alternatives, started eating more veggies, and gave up diet sodas cold turkey. In fact, I was going through a case of diet sodas every 2 days at the height of my addiction. I now drink green tea or water and will have the occasional diet soda with dinner, but I do not buy it by the case anymore.
Oh my gosh, I thought I had a bad diet soda addiction. A case every 2 days. Now that is amazing. Anyway, the result of all this was a loss of just over 100 pounds in a little under 3 years, which I've kept off for nearly 6 months. But to say that all this was easy, even though it took years to shed, is an understatement. Believe me, there were times in my 230s when I thought I had plateaued and couldn't go any further. But despite it all, not once during my weight loss program did I ever lose sight of my goal or tell myself that I couldn't do this.
It was at those difficult times when I really shined by telling myself that nobody was to blame for letting my body get the way it did. I got mad at myself and worked even harder to lose the weight because nobody was going to lose it for me. I turned the switch on, took no excuses, and made no regrets. I moved on whenever times got too tough and worked right through them.
Now, am I some kind of fitness nut that thinks he knows it all? No, I'm far from that. I still have an occasional slice of pizza or a donut, but in moderation, which is the key to success. I'm just a guy that was tired of being fat and decided to do something about it, rather than sit around and mope about his size 48 pants and double XL shirts were getting more snug. By the way, I now wear size 36 pants and large shirts.
I am now training to run in the Disneyland 5K this September and feel better than I have in years. I have since abandoned counting points and simply keep track of the calories I take in and what I expend. It's as simple as that. Food is no longer my enemy. It is the fuel I need to survive.
Believe me when I say that if somebody like me can change their lifestyle and lose the weight, I have no doubt that any of your listeners can too. I will gladly share my experience with anybody that's willing to listen in the hopes that they will find their own inspiration and make the change from fat to fit. The road is by no means easy, but the reward is definitely waiting for you at the journey's end.
Thanks again and keep up the great work. And best of luck to you, Russ, with your program. I know you will reach your goal. P.S. My new goal is 190 pounds, which I will get to. But for now, I'm enjoying what I've accomplished thus far.
Yeah, so if you want to follow along with David on his journey, again, that blog is 200by40.com. And he's got some great posts there. And that's just a great story. I mean, 100 pounds, 3 years. And he's still going. He's got a new goal, 190 pounds. He's just going to be a ripped, and that's great.
I think the most impressive thing for me when I read this is that he's kept it off for 6 months, and now he's got another goal of running this 5K run in the fall in Disneyland. He didn't just lose his weight, reach his goal, and then say, well, I'm done, and then start putting the weight back on. He set another goal and another goal, and I think he's going to be really successful.
Yeah, it's great. You know, we've talked about on our goal-setting shows in the past that if you don't have a destination, then you'll probably end up somewhere else. And that somewhere else, when you're talking about weight loss, is going to be 20 pounds extra in a couple of years if you don't keep those goals in mind.
And I would suggest that all of our listeners take a look at his blog, click on his pictures, and see what 100 pounds difference is on someone. It's really incredible. And he had that one line where he said, people might think it was easy because it took 3 years to lose 100 pounds. That is not easy. That's maintaining a lifestyle for 3 years straight. And now that he's 6 months into it, or a little longer than that, that's 3.5 years of drastically changing his lifestyle. But I think it's really not going to be hard for him to continue because he didn't get into something extreme, gradually went into it, and his diet was the same as his maintenance. I think he's going to, you know, like I said, be really successful in the long term.
All right, I want to thank JP and David for their great stories. You know, we don't just answer questions or comments, life stories, life change. We want to hear that too. I want to thank you guys for taking the time to write us with those great stories. Thank you very much. And if you want to get your story here on the podcast, there's a couple ways to do that. The first is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is by leaving a voicemail on the website. There's a call me button. Click that and you can send us a free voicemail.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, so now we're going to tackle a couple of news items with the web report.
All right, my news item this week comes from mumgrind.com, and it's entitled Women and Body Image, 10 Disturbing Facts. Fact number one, the average American woman is 5'4" tall and weighs 140 pounds. The average American model is 5'11" and weighs 117 pounds. Point number two, the average size of the ideal woman as portrayed by models has become progressively thinner over the years, and everyone knows that. It has stabilized around 20% below the average weight. The next one, it's estimated that 40 to 50% of American women are trying to lose weight at any point in time.
That's interesting because I have to say that almost 100% of the women that I know are trying to lose weight at any particular time.
Well, it's a lot to do just with our culture. Women just don't have a positive self-image, and even 3 or 4 pounds of excess fat, what they see in their eyes, they just think it's too much. But moving on, the next one, point number five, almost half of all women smokers smoke because they see it as the best way to control their weight. Of these women, 25% will die of a disease caused by smoking. Point number six, at age 13, 53% of American girls are unhappy with their bodies. This grows to 78% by the time the girls reach 17. Point number seven, in a sample of male and female high school students, girls had higher body dissatisfaction scores than boys on all measures. Girls reported magazines as their primary source of information regarding diet and health. Boys reported their parents as their primary source of information. So that's quite a difference. And fact number eight talks about a 1999 study in which 59% of girls reported dissatisfaction with their body shape, and 66% expressed a desire to lose weight. According to their BMI, only 29% of those girls were actually overweight.
Well, and there's that that problem with the perception of, you know, seeing these models in these magazines, that they are comparing themselves to these ultra-thin models. Meanwhile, only, you know, and again, 66% of them want to lose weight, but they're only 29% are overweight. They're just comparing themselves to this unachievable.
Yeah, that's true. Well, point number nine is talking about Barbie, and Barbie is 5'9" tall and weighs 110 pounds. Barbie would have a BMI of 16.2, which is considered severely underweight. And this is the first thing that a lot of girls see as ideal women's shape. And the last point, it's really interesting. Nearly 11.7 million cosmetic, surgical, and non-surgical procedures were performed in the United States in 2007. Women had nearly 10.6 million cosmetic procedures, 91% of the total. So those are those 10 disturbing facts about women's perceptions with their bodies and body weight. So what do you have for us this week, Russ?
Well, I've got an article here from ukmedics.com. It's about a study that was done by Professor Regan from the St. Mary's Hospital in London. And he conducted this trial to show that these many, many weight loss products don't work. He took a whole group of these individuals, and instead of giving them this drug that they thought they were taking to help them lose weight, he gave them a placebo, a do-nothing pill, and told them to eat healthy and eat less and get exercise. By giving them this pill and telling them they're going to lose massive amounts of weight with this pill, they did. Well, the pill did nothing for them. They lost weight specifically only because they ate less and exercise more. So we talked about, you know, all these drugs that will get you a small amount of benefit, 20 calories here, 70 calories there for, you know, a week's worth of pills. Well, these people proved here, this study, that all these weight loss drugs, if you just eat less and exercise more, that you don't need any of these weight loss pills to lose weight. We talk about like Ally. That was a big one. That was, you know, it was a deterrent from eating fat. Well, if you just ate less fat and you exercise, you would still lose the weight. These weight loss supplements are not necessary. And this study by this doctor here has now proved this.
Yeah, that's really interesting. When you look at diet supplements, they're really just food products, and they're trying to be sold as complementary and alternative medicines almost. And they don't have to compete with real drugs. They just have to compete with placebos, you know, things that really don't do anything. So can a supplement actually have more of a benefit than just your mind believing that it has a benefit? So that's a really interesting study that someone actually did it to see if people would lose more weight with actually taking nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about, you said supplements there. I'm looking at the study here, and it says they were comparing these placebos to drugs like Xenical and this other one, Reductil, which I haven't heard of, but these weight loss drugs that are being prescribed by doctors to help you lose weight, in addition to all those ones you can buy over the counter at your local GNC or at your Walmart or Target, they have the exact same effect, which is nothing. If you eat less, again, and exercise, you still lose the weight. So save your money, folks.
Yeah, those are some really good points. You really can't underestimate the power of just eating properly and doing a little bit of exercise. That there is 95% of the work. Anything else is just like Tom Venuto said, a couple of shows ago, that's just the minutia. But let's move on to something a little bit more concrete. And this week for the feature section, we are talking about Navy Fitness. We found a Navy website that is a total plan for eating, nutrition, doing warm-ups, cardio, strength training to keep you in shape so that if you are in the Navy and you're ready to be deployed, this is how you stay in shape to be ready. So it starts off with this website. Congratulations on passing all aspects of the Navy's physical readiness test. You are now ready to begin down a path of lifelong fitness to maintain or improve your current state of readiness. And what this is, it's not a huge website. It's a small website, maybe 15 or 20 pages, but it only has exactly what you need, what they think you should be eating, what they think you should be doing.
Yeah, on the intro here, on the first part of the program, they go right into goal setting, what you're going to try to accomplish with this program. And they've got some things like run times and push-ups, curl-ups, pull-ups, squats, bench press, weight, all these things that they're measuring to gauge where you want to be, where you are right now, where you want to be in the 16 weeks this program is supposed to go on for. And, it's good that they're starting off with solid goals to so you can attain those things.
That's right. It makes a lot of sense. It then starts off with a goal sheet. Of course, you have to set some goals before you start any sort of program. And then it gives you a suggested training schedule, how you can do some self-testing just to see where you are right now.
All right, the second part of this is a warm-up. They want you to get your muscles moving, get them all warm before you start any kind of exercise. That's good advice. And in particular, they have this great, it's called warm-up and stretch, dynamic stretching. There are just dozens of photographs of how to do these warm-ups and the stretches. And it's really great. It only takes 2 to 5 minutes and a great way to start the exercise.
That's right. There's 21 exercises here just to limber up your body. There's a couple where you can use a medicine ball, but really you could be picking up anything and moving it around in the range of motion that they're showing you how to do. And, in 5 minutes, you've got a great warm-up and your body's going to feel just ready to go for the day even.
That's right. There are multiple days I can think of here in the past where I've gotten up and I've had a little crick in my neck and the back, and one of these stretches like this would do me a world of good.
The one thing that I really like about the site is the nutrition section, and it's not a huge book. It's just the points and the little things that you need to make these lifestyle changes to be successful. So they start off with the food log, which we've always talked about, that you got to keep track of what you're eating to make sure that you are eating what you're thinking.
Yeah, and they go on here to talk about portion distortion, how over the years, over the past 20 years, it says here that the size of the food that we are served in restaurants has just grown to just amazing amounts, where, things that a slice of pizza, instead of being, 200 calories, is now 500 calories. It's amazing things like that.
I'm just looking at some of the helpful tips they have here. So, for example, don't eat in front of the television to avoid eating the entire amount right in front of you. Don't serve from large serving dishes at the table since second helpings are just too tempting. Eat a small healthy snack right before going out to dinner to avoid eating a larger meal than you need, et cetera. It's just, here's the little points. This is the basic stuff you need to know for eating, and it's all in one spot.
Yeah, also here in the nutrition section, which may be an interesting place to put this, but they've got a calories burned during 30 minutes of exercise. So if you're looking at, okay, what activities am I doing? What kind of foods can I eat? Kind of make sure I don't eat too much to counteract that workout I'm going to do later.
So they're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. When they're talking about nutrition, they're not going to tell you to eat this crazy diet, low carb, high carb, anything like that. They're just giving you the USDA food pyramid and saying these are the basic things that you should be eating every day.
Yeah, the next section is the cardio program. I'm going to burn some calories now in here. And it starts off with an explanation of the cardiovascular exercises that they're going to do, cross-training, running, walking, intervals, and just gives you the basics.
Now, when you get a little bit more in detail into the cardio workouts, they do give you four different cycles of cardio. So cycle one is weeks 1 to 4, cycle two are weeks 5 to 8, and they get a little bit harder and they do progress so that you're not going to be injuring yourself or anything like that if you follow the program.
And they also have down here that some logs you can keep track of your exercises as you do them, so you can track your progress along as you're following the program.
And of course, fitness is not all about cardiovascular fitness. We always talk about strength training. So their section on strength is pretty good. It has a lot of different exercises. You don't need to go buy any sort of weightlifting book. It has a super long page that talks about every exercise that you can really think about. And it's not just in the gym doing exercises. There's full body weight exercises, etc. throughout here.
Yeah, what I like about this is I don't know every single type of move or what muscle I'm going to be working if I do this move. But it tells you, you know, basically what you need to do to work a particular muscle. And it gives you a starting position and an ending position so you know exactly how to do it. You know, there's some push-ups here. I'm looking at some dumbbell curls. And it shows, you know, keep your elbows in and, you know, don't swing the weight as you bring it up. And it's nice to know, like, you can have proper form to make sure you're isolating those muscle groups when you do the workout here, and you're not wasting your time.
That's right. And they go over the specifics of strength training, things like repetition speed, how fast you should be doing your repetitions, how many sets, how much recovery time. One thing that I find really interesting is they suggest to eat 6 small meals a day, one every 2 to 3 hours, and that's going to help you with your strength training. And I'm just thinking, if you're in the Navy, do you have the opportunity to eat 6 small meals?
You know, I'd say very interesting. I thought that, you know, you talk about 3 squares a day. That's what I've always heard. But, you know, I'm not a military man, Jeff, or I don't believe you were either.
Well, I remember reading forum postings on bodybuilding.com and hearing from Army guys who are complaining that they can't get in their 5 or 6 meals a day because they're just not allowed. This is what the prevailing theory is, that you should be eating all the time and keeping that protein to get the best benefit out of your workouts.
And the last section here on the website is about abdominals, and it goes through an exhaustive list of all these different ab exercises you can do. Only a couple of them require any kind of machine. Most of them are done on the floor or with very simple equipment like a little bench or one of these fitness balls. It's very, very complete in getting all your abs, all the muscle groups there worked out.
Well, I think this website is really going to appeal to people who just want to say, well, if I want to get into the military, what do they suggest I do to be in top physical shape? What should I eat? What exercises should I be doing? And this just really lays it all out. If you did follow all these activities and do what they're saying, you would get in great shape. You would get in Navy shape, I guess.
Before I spend any kind of money on any fitness program, I would take a look at this and follow this and try it out. You know, there's really detailed workouts, what muscles to work out, and the cardio and the strength training. And really, it is very detailed and very impressive. When you first sent me the site, I thought, oh, right, sure. We have a Navy thing. Oh, that's great. But the more I read it, the more I looked at it, the more that you realize that they know what they're talking about. And, you know, they've got a very conservative system here, and it's probably going to work for them.
I think the biggest thing about the site, why I like it, is there's no hype and there's no bull. You're not going to convince the Navy to tell people, oh, you have to use my hydroxycut supplement or something crazy like that because you will gain 10 pounds of muscle in 3 weeks. There's nothing about that. It's all about eat right and exercise, and that's how they've been doing it for years and years, and if it worked for them, it will work for anyone. So, Russ, what do you have for the recipe this week?
Got the recipe this week from Twitter. I saw a little post, and it was from something called Project Swole. And I had no idea what that was, so I went over to the Urban Dictionary and found out that swole stands for extremely muscular or buff, swollen, swole. That seemed like, okay, maybe it's, I don't feel as stupid as I did before I read that. I had no idea what that meant. But this was for something called the Deep Dish Protein Pizza Quiche. And basically, it's a basic quiche. And in this recipe, they've included some protein powder, which you could eliminate. But this particular recipe has it in it. And then they take it and they put pizza toppings on top. So it creates this healthier pizza. Instead of having that giant crust of just all real simple carbs in it, you get the protein crust of the quiche. So I think it's a really good idea. I want to give this a try, and I'm going to see if I can get the kids to eat it. I don't know if they'll go for it, but I really think it sounds good. So check out the recipe this week. It's the deep dish protein pizza quiche.
Oh, I'm sure you can get them eating this. They probably don't even know what quiche is at their age. I remember I knew that expression, you know, real men don't eat quiche, but I was eating it for years and never actually knew that it was quiche. My parents just called it something else.
You know, we did too. You know, it was that egg thing with the broccoli in it. I didn't know what it was. All right, Jeff. So what is our homework for everybody this week?
Well, the homework this week kind of comes from the Navy Fitness. That's where I got the idea. But in my real life, when I'm teaching my phys ed classes, I lead my students through a good warm-up, and they're much more energetic and limber after that, especially first thing in the morning. How many people out there actually feel energetic and limber throughout the day in their regular real lives? The homework for this week is to do a warm-up for your life first thing in the morning. Start incorporating some basic warm-up moves first thing in the morning to help wake yourself up and to help limber your body up. If you're up for a challenge, try doing 10 to 15 of the exercises that we talked about from the Navy Fitness program every morning for a week and see how you feel. I guarantee that you'll start to feel more alive, especially in the mornings. And I'll leave a direct link that goes right to the warm-ups. One little thing that I actually do, my first phys ed class of the day that I teach, I always do the warm-ups with the students because it makes the rest of my day go a lot better. So follow my advice. You'll feel a lot better throughout the day, guaranteed.
All right, I'll try that. So what is our motivational quote for the week?
The quote this week comes from Tony Robbins, and it is, "The only thing keeping you from getting what you want is the story you keep telling yourself about why you can't have it."
All right, very good. Well, I want to thank everybody for sending in those great stories. Really, really like those this week. And all the show notes for all the links and everything we talked about today will be in the show notes at fat2fitradio.com. Check them out there, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.